We have been in a new series. This is our third week in a new series. Do you guys remember what the last series was?
Prayer.
Thank you, Manny. You're not allowed to answer, though. No, that's okay. You can man. What have we been studying? What is for 2 weeks now? Whoa, you're quick. Yeah, grace. Manny started us off 2 weeks ago and kind of gave us a definition of what grace is. A look at grace. And then last week we talked about grace in a different way. You guys remember what we talked about last week? Yeah, go ahead, Manny, because they're not answering.
Jesus being the branch,
the
vine.
Yeah. You guys remember what that meant? What did we say the vine and the branches meant for us? Got to have the vine to get the branches, right? And we're the branches. And we can't have fruit unless what? Unless we get the vine. We need Jesus. And guess what? If we don't have fruit, what does that probably mean? Probably going to get tossed out. We probably never actually have had the actual vine if our life has never changed at all in any way. And so now that we know that, grace does some really powerful things in our lives, like changes your entire life. Tonight we're going to look at how grace is an expression of true love. We wouldn't even have grace if we didn't have true love, right? It's like, because love is the motivation for grace. Look at me, look with me, don't look at me. Look in your Bibles at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 is where we're going to be tonight. Start in verse 7. First John 4, 7. You guys there? Now, as we read through this, I want you to do me a favor. Try to count how many times the word love shows up in just these couple verses. All right? We're going to read 7 to 12. Count how many times love shows up here. Here we go. 1 John 4, chapter verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." Now, depending on whether or not you counted the beloveds as a love form, right? Okay, there you go. You guys are right on it. So, did you know that if we keep reading the rest of this passage, he's going to use it a whole bunch more times? We're only reading a few verses out of this passage that just has jam-packed information about love. As a matter of fact, the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, doesn't even mention as many times as this passage does. Okay? Or maybe it does, I don't know, but not anymore. Seems like this is more. Somebody count and find out for us, but later. Now here's the deal. John really, really wants us to know what this thing, love, is all about. Okay? And sometimes we just don't get love. We don't understand quite what it is. Some of you guys are just like entering that age where you're like noticing the opposite sex and you're like, "Oh, she's pretty," or "Oh, he's studly." You know, wait, I did that backwards. You're a deep voice woman. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm not an actor. But you get what I'm saying, right? And so you're starting to like dabble and you're like, what is this love thing all about? And sometimes we think love is all about romance. And sometimes we think love is all about, and we get all these marriage, yeah. We get all these weird definitions floating around in our head. Where does love actually come from? What's the point of love and why does it exist? What's it even here for? Is it what scientists and most of our teachers say? It's just some chemicals that are in your body that produce some sort of reaction. And they get you to, it's aliens? That could be one. Yeah, there are all sorts of different crazy explanations. But John wants us to know the real definition. You get me? John wants us to understand. I think it's really fitting that this was going to be our passage tonight, whether it was the week before Valentine's or not. It was already in the series for a while ago. I think it's cool that we're studying love and it's right before Valentine's Day because it seems fitting. I love telling you guys my college stories because college was just a crazy time for me. Not like it was for other people. It was just an embarrassing time pretty much. But I got another love story for you since we're talking about love. There's this... Anybody ever seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer before?
Yeah.
All right, good. It's not a good show, but anyway, I used to watch it when I was younger. I didn't love Jesus as much. And I was absolutely in love with Sarah Michelle Gellar. Like, she was the most beautiful woman on the face of the planet. And I was like, oh. All right, so there happened, like, in college, at least my college, it was a Christian college, we had guy dorms and we had girl dorms. It was none of this, like, girl, guy, stay in the same dorm, weird stuff that public colleges do. So we were separated for a good reason. But what we did was they gave us brother-sister dorms. So you could hang out with, like, girl dorms and get to know girls, and girls get to know guys in a clean way. It wasn't weird. So, whatever. So what these dorms did, they basically just chilled a lot and hung out a lot. But our sister dorm, they had a bunch of pranksters in it. And so they loved to, like, play pranks on us. So therefore, we loved to play pranks on them, too. So we would always be playing jokes on each other, just being stupid. And not just playing pranks, but hanging out a lot. And so when you hang out a lot, and you kind of get to know them well, and all of a sudden there was this one girl that struck my eye in my sister dorm. And she looked exactly like Sarah Michelle Gellar. All right, she was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and I was in love with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so I was like, this is my chance! I get to marry Buffy! This is awesome! So what I did was, I have to get a date with this girl. And so I thought, you know, I was like, I was definitely hit with the ugly stick, you know. So I was not going to get her by looks, right? So I had to be really smooth and romantic. That was the only way I was going to get this girl. So I came up with this awesome plot. I was just learning how to play guitar, so I would get my guitar. And I knew how to play Right Here Waiting by Richard Marx, okay? Some of you guys have heard me play that on the piano like a million times. You're like, stop playing. Oh, you got to go Google it, dude. It's awesome. All right, so anyway. You know, it's da 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 dum, da 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 dum, da dum dum. We'll play it for you later. Come find me after. Anyway, the point is, so I'm going to play this. It's the most romantic song in the world at the time, and I'm like, I'm going to play this song on guitar. I'm going to sing to her, and she's going to love me. But there was this guy in my dorm. His name was Dave, okay? Dave was the psycho of all psychos, all right? This dude was a total lunatic. He was a crazy man, but we loved him. Now, here's why I say this. He wasn't, like, crazy, like, just in a fun way. He was really a lunatic. Like, he was a weirdo, but we loved him like our mascot. He was like one of those guys that he would wear a cape and chase cars in the parking lot. Like, seriously, he did some, like, crazy stuff. So he got the name Super Dave. That's what we called him, because you would always see him running down the road chasing cars. You're like, why are you doing that? But he really thought it was cool. Like, it was weird. So anyway, he's on my dorm. He's our mascot. And I'm like, I know the perfect plan. I'm going to get this girl's heart. I know I'm going to do it. So I got Dave to play along. And she was in a 6-story dorm, all right? This is a massive dorm with 6 floors. She's 3 floors up. So I can't just go tap on her window. So what I was going to do is I was going to get Super Dave to run back and forth under her window and scream and make, like, a big crazy noise. And when she came out to the window, I would step right under the window and look right at her in her eyes, and I would sing that song, and she would fall in love with me. That's what I was going to do, okay? Dave does it. He's screaming. He's yelling. But not just her. It's not just her that comes to the window. But this audience of, like, 8 million eyeballs are, like, looking at me through this 6-story dorm. And I'm like, oh, good. So I step out from behind the tree, and I get my guitar. I'm right under a window. I look up at her, and I start singing, da-da-da-da. Not singing, but playing, da-da-da-da-da. And then I start singing the song. Now, there's a part of the song where it gets really high and really powerful, and it's like the climax of the song, and that's the note I'm going to hit. That's going to get her to melt, fall out of the window into my arms. We're going to go off in the sunset and get married. It's going to be awesome. So I'm ready, and here I go. I'm almost to the note. I'm right to the part, and as I start to hit that high note, I'm like, here she comes. I'm almost like, should I drop my guitar? Because I know she's going to fall. Right at that moment, splash. I get soaked with water, and I look up. And there she is, my beautiful angel, standing there with, like, a little small garbage can that had been full of water, but now the water was on me. And I'm still playing, da-da-da-da-da, crying. Now, she had misunderstood. Their dorm thought we were just playing another joke. So they thought, let's get these guys, and then played a joke back on us. But it wasn't a joke. I was being serious. So the worst part is, not only is she up there laughing, but 6,000 girls are up there pointing and laughing, and then Super Dave comes up to me and goes, bro, that was embarrassing, man. You of all people, Dave, are going to tell me what's embarrassing. Like, I totally thought that's what love was about. I thought that's how I would get her, romance and the whole deal, and butterflies in the stomach. And one thing I learned from my little lesson there is that a lot of us do walk around with this completely confused understanding of love. We don't even know really where love comes from or why we should love. And John wants to be really, really emphatic tonight, so we have it very clear in our heads and our hearts what true love looks like. And it's not all flowers and roses. And so look it with me to verse 7, and let's start tearing this thing apart and see what John says. Verse 7 says, he starts off with the word beloved. Did you guys see that? Beloved. It sounds like an old King James Shakespeare thing, doesn't it? What does beloved mean? Any ideas? Huh? Perfect. There you go. Yeah. People I love deeply. My dear friends, like people that my heart like longs for and I love you and I would protect you. And John is like looking with this pastoral fatherly love toward these people he's writing this letter to. And John, remember, is the guy who was closest to Jesus himself. He was Jesus' closest disciple. He was actually called the one Jesus, what? Loved. If anybody knows about love and how to teach on love, it's John. And look at what he says. He's talking to people that he dearly loves. There's no doubt why the word love is used so many times in this passage. He's trying to make a point. He wants to be very clear about something here. He uses it 6 times in this letter, the word beloved. Twice are right here in the couple verses we're going to read. So that should be a little alert for us to really pay attention here. The first thing he tells them to do after he says, beloved, I love you so much, let us love one another. You ever thought about that? Like, we get the command, you guys probably know. It's our stinking mission statement of our church, and you guys say it all the time. Love God, love people, go into the world. Why? Why are we told to love one another? It's a picture of what God does for them. Definitely it's a picture. Any other reasons why love might be so important? You skipping ahead on me? You watch yourself. Yeah, you're right. What? Somebody over here? You're going to skip ahead to... You learn well, grasshopper. All right, good. Have you ever thought about places in our world where love doesn't exist? Like situations that are not loving situations? People who might be in families that lack love? Governments and countries that are so loveless? You could probably think about places just in this community where love is just not even present. What kind of places are those, you know? And you get a better grasp of how important love is when you think about the places love isn't. Why are we commanded to love one another? We're about to find out. The next phrase says, for love is from God. You want to know where love comes from? You ever think about that? Probably not. Never thought, like, when you're a little kid, you're like, where do babies come from? Where does this come from? Where does that come from? One of the questions was probably not, hey, mommy, where does love come from? Like, you don't think about it. You actually can know tonight that love comes, the origin of love comes from God himself. So every time you love, it's not really you. You got that from who? Oh, wait, what? Max isn't able to love on his own? Max doesn't have the love inside of him inherently born with this thing called love in him to be able to love other people? No! Love comes from God. It originates in God himself. And so we're commanded to love one another, this true love, not just this emotional love, but true love, because it comes from the Creator, God, who made us and designed us to love. It's part of the blueprints. It was part of the plan from the moment you drew your first breath and cried and the doctor slapped your butt. You know what I'm saying? No, you don't know what I'm saying? You did that to me. Am I the only one? Man. I was abused. Now listen. Look at what he says next. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Well, then the opposite's true, right? Look what he says after that. Anyone who doesn't love does not know God. Now remember what we studied last week, right? You have to have fruit in order to what? Guys, are you here? Are you here tonight? What does the fruit do? Does it earn your salvation? What does it do? What's the point of fruit? It's evidence that feeds other people. Fruit's for other people to pick up and eat and benefit from. It's not for you. It's not for you to give back to God. It's for other people to pick up and eat, but it displays something, that the life of God is in you. Because it's flowing out of you in the way you act and love and move and breathe. And love is one of those fruit. So as we studied last week, grace does something awesome in your heart. It changes your life. And one of those changes is it gives you this incredible ability to have real, true, genuine love. And not just the love that you see around you on TV and in this world that is total confusion and lies. The world's going to tell you that sex is love. Feeling good is love. Romance is love. having someone to feel good about yourself is love. All these different definitions, and they're lies. Love can only come from God. And therefore, that love should look like God. It should act like God. It should breathe like God through you into other people. And so if you have love, it says, if you have love, you're born of God. And people will see that. Jesus even says that they'll know you by your love. But if you don't, the flip side is also true. And it's really sad, because if you're a person who says, I love Christ so much, later in the passage, it actually gets very specific. It says, if you don't can't love your brother, but you say you love God, you're a liar. Wow, John, for someone who talks about love a whole lot, you're pretty mean. Like, you're pretty blunt with us. So here's the dreaded question, guys. Here's the question we can't help but ask tonight. And if I could avoid it, I'd love to avoid it, because less people would be mad at me when we leave this door. But Scripture begs the question. How many of us here struggle with loving other people? How many of us here just flat out don't care and don't love others? How many of you, if you honestly took like a snapshot of your life and looked down at the way you interact with people, maybe at school or home or wherever, we would not see this loving person that is like giving and sacrificing for others and putting others first. You'd see someone spreading rumors and gossip and hating and backbiting and lying. If we call ourselves believers in Jesus Christ, we better stink in love. We're told very clearly right here, if you say you love God, but you don't love your brother, you're a liar. So if you're born of God, let His love be shown through you. Let it change you. Let it be fruit that flows out of you. Now look at that phrase with me, because it says, the very last phrase of that verse, God is love. Here's a question, because a lot of you guys probably know that, and you probably memorized that verse or grew up making little arts and crafts in VBS or like elementary school. Is it God is love and little hearts and all that junk? Never done that? Wow. Okay, anyway, so I've done that. God is love. What is that? Have you stopped ever to think, what does God is love mean? Think about it for a second before you answer me. What does God is love really mean? Any thoughts? Johnny? You're like, something He displays to us? That's definitely a part of it. You think that's all of it? Probably not, but it's definitely a part, yeah. Did you hear me through the floor? You were downstairs when we were talking for junior high. Yes. He's the source. Here's the deal. Some of us might say that God is just, He's loving. So everything He does is loving. That's true, but that's not what God is love means. Some might say that, well, there's certain activities that God does that are loving. Like part of what God's duties are is to love people, right? Because God's love. No, that's not all of it either. Some people even turn around and flip Christianity upside down and they go, well, that means that love is also God. So as long as we're loving, we're embodying God. And therefore, I can do anything and be in any religion as long as I'm loving, because love, really, the point is that love is God. And a loving person embodies God. Wait, did John say that? Well, John's very clear that's not it. But John does say that God is love, the very essence of who God is, the very core of His heart, the motivation of everything that God does is love. He's motivated 100% completely by love. That's a really important attribute to know about God. Because the day that you're standing with a broken heart looking up into heaven going, what's going on, God? You can know that that very thing that's breaking your heart is not this big mean God up there who hates you and just wants to wreck your life. Because He is totally and completely motivated by love. The very core and essence of who He is. And the awesome part is, He unleashes it on you. He holds none of it back. And He just pours it out over you. And so God is love. Look at verse 9. John goes on, and now he's going to draw us the most beautiful portrait of what true love actually looks like. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. All right, uh-oh, Rob said a big word. Let's tune out and not listen now, right? The M word, manifest. What does manifest mean so we can slay this dragon real quick? Anybody? Manifest? A pirate's manifest? Is that something? Huh? Yeah, to become real, right? To become reality, something that's displayed, we could say, kind of like you could see it. So, in this, the expression of God's love is what? Are you ready? That God sent His only Son into the world. We've already learned, when Manny preached to us 2 weeks ago, that God sending His Son into the world equals grace. So the greatest expression of true love, of God's true love, is grace. The greatest way God could ever love any of us is by sending His Son into the world and giving us grace. Now, if you're like me, you got this list of things that you're like, God, if you really love me, tick, 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 these would be good to have. And God's already looking down going, I gave you the greatest thing already, Rob. You know, like, you have Jesus. My only Son. Not just that it's like God's got this, would have this big family if it wasn't for Jesus, because He's the only one or something weird like that. But literally, Jesus is a part of who God is. Here we go, Trinity talk. Let's all have the fried brains, right? He's so intimate with the Creator. He is the Creator Himself. This intimate, awesome relationship of pure, true love is broken and sent to earth for us. I can't fathom it. I don't even know if I'm verbally explaining it well to you. We'll get to heaven and God will be like, that was the worst explanation, Rob. It's got to be way worse than that. God literally sent the most intimate part of Himself and sent it to us. He sent us His love, who is Christ. Embodying love. Where are you, God? I don't know where you are. Hey, guess what? I walked on earth. How much closer do you want me to be? How come you don't show yourself to us now? I was showing myself to you when I was on the cross. And the nails were in my hands and feet. What else do you want? Jesus Christ is the greatest expression of God's love. This grace that we keep talking about is an expression of true love. Forget little roses and chocolates and butterflies. This was a painful love. This was a sacrificial love. So here's my question. If the greatest example of true love requires sacrifice, how sacrificially do we live to other people that we say we love? How much do we think about ourselves instead of putting other people first? Because true love has set the standard for us by sending its only Son, its most intimate part, its pure and total love to us, to lavish it on us like we sing in these songs. Have grace. I was sitting in my office studying this, and I've studied it all week, but today I was sitting there just bawling my eyes out, because that's the most beautiful expression. It doesn't get any more beautiful than that. And when I look at my own heart and how disgusting I am in my heart, thinking I'm loving people well, and I'm so far from the standard, the purity of it, passion to send your only Son to do what He did. And you know what? I sit here all the time and go, you don't do enough, God. I hope that's not him. He's going to be ticked at me. He's coming in and be like, Rob, you stink. Anyway, ignore that. Look why He does this. So that we might live through Him. Jesus didn't just come down here and take a vacation, y'all. He wasn't just coming, hey, let's go take a vacation to earth, God. I'll be back later. He came down to die and to suffer, knowing He would do it for you. For you to ignore, for you to throw away if you want to, or for you to fully accept. Hold on, will you just go tell him to be quiet real quick, Zach? Thanks. We'll wait, because I know we'll be distracted. This is probably the most important point. So it's probably Satan trying to distract us. Thanks, buddy. That was very loving of you and sacrificial. So rewind for a second and try to focus back on what we're talking about, because I really don't want to miss this. I think John's point is right here. You have life because of what God did. How are you using that life? I know I ask a lot of questions like that, and you're probably sick of hearing them, but I don't care. Scripture asks a lot of questions like that. And I hope it gets your mind thinking, because if you're wasting it, you have no idea what you're wasting. He did all this for you. Now live for Him. Love for Him. Put Him and other people first. There is nothing else in this world worth it more than Jesus Christ. So then John says, and this is love. Here I go. I'm going to tell you what love is. Are you guys ready? That's what he's saying. Not that we've loved God, but that He loved us. Your love is going to stink. I'm sorry. You can try your best. But God's love is awesome. And you're not loving with your love if you're a believer. You're loving with this awesome love that comes from God, and it literally overflows out of you because you can't contain it. And as it flows out of you, it's pouring onto the people around you. That's how this love works. And if it's not, you might need to get on your knees and repent before God and say, clean my heart so I can really experience your love and give it away. I'm tired of giving my junky love away to people that's not worth it. And I run out of real quick when it's mine. I need your love so I could show other people this grace that you've shown me. Are you guys doing it? Are you doing it? It says, and He sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Does anybody know what the word propitiation means? Another big word alert, right? Substitute. Pay for it. He sent His Son to take the place of us to pay for our sins. I love that there's two pronouns in there. Any language people in here that love languages? I hate being a couple of you. Anyway, well, me and the other two that actually like languages. Here we go. His and our. Find the word His and find the word our in this. Look at the awesome contrast. Sent His Son to be the substitute for our sin. You ever gotten in a fight with your brother or sister about whose is whose? Like, that one's mine and that one's yours and don't touch it. Right? Leave it alone. Never pass through God's head. You're mine. You're mine. You're mine. And I'm going to send my Son to pay for your sin. Doesn't get more sacrificial than that. Please know how much you're loved. Please know that you're not sitting here tonight unloved. I don't care if you think you're in a family that doesn't love you or have no friends or people tear you up in school. I don't care. You're not sitting here unloved. You are more loved than you could ever imagine. Now look at these last two verses. John is going to close with this. Verse 11 says, beloved. He says it again to reinforce it. I've said some hard stuff, y'all. I understand. But I love you so much, I need you to get it. And that's how I feel tonight. It's awesome. I feel just like John as I talk to you. Because I stinking love you so much. And I want you to get this. Because this is the essence of the Christian life. If you're up here like, I'm a believer, I'm a follower, this is what you need to get. Of course. Do it lovingly. We still love them. A loving punch to the face. Rewind number two. They're just giving us a break in between points. It's okay. Back to Jesus, verse 11. Beloved, He's going to remind him how much He loves him. Look what He says. Rubber meets the road here, y'all. Wait, it didn't already meet the road, Rob? Because it's been pretty pointed up till now. Hang on. Beloved, if God so loved us, did all this for us, we also ought to love one another. Can you ask yourself the question right now? If God loved us enough to do that for you, shouldn't that also mean that we ought to love other people? Yeah, that's what it should mean. So do it. If you're not, do it. And if you are, do better. Beg Him for more. You can never get enough of this. You can never stop growing in His love. It's eternal and infinite and extravagant, like we sing. Beg Him for more. Love people more. Will you honestly stop and just think for a second? How have I been treating the people in my life? What kind of words am I sharing with my friends? What do I say behind people's backs? Are you loving? Then it says, no one has ever seen God. God is way too big. Y'all, if you don't know that, let me tell you tonight. God is so stinking big, you can't see Him. Your eyes will never be able to grasp Him. He's unseeable. He's too huge and immense and powerful and incredible and awesome. And I totally understated that. All right? He's that awesome. You can't see Him. But check this out. If we love one another, with the love of God we're talking about here, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Whole, complete. So as people look at you and the way you sacrificially love for others with the love that can only be given to you by God, guess what they're seeing? God. Not that you're God, but that you're displaying God Himself who can't be seen with your eyes. People are actually able to see Him because you are showing it through His love flowing through you, and they're going, whoa. Why would you love me like that? Why would you do that for me? Try it. You don't believe me? Give it a try and see what happens. You could show people God by using His love and showing it on other people. Now listen, I like to tell you Guatemala stories too, because I spent a lot of time there. When I was in Guatemala, I was walking with this medical team through this one town called La Fragua. I love to say that. La Fragua. And La Fragua was basically this little nasty town of squatters that they don't own the land, they just took it. And it was along this old railroad track, right along the side of it. It was all dirt. And they basically just put up some fences that they made out of whatever they could and pushed some like boards together to make some sort of refuge to like sleep under. That was about it. Otherwise, they just hung out in their yard because their house was just boards. So a lot of the people weren't there, like the adults. And we're walking up and down this road seeing if people needed medical help and trying to share the gospel. But parents were all out working, so kids are home alone. Like big families of kids that are like 6 years and under. And there'll be like 10 kids in the yard. And you're like, well, how do you feed all these kids? And most of them aren't getting fed. You look at their bellies and they're swollen like this and their hair's falling out from malnutrition. And so we're walking up to all these houses and I got up to this one house, shack, whatever it was. And as I walk in, I see a bunch of kids. And there's this one little boy. All the kids look very shy. They're dirty, barely dressed, all swollen bellies. And they were just very shy and kind of standoffish, moved to the back kind of by the hut. And this one little boy, the brother, just kind of stood up front. He wasn't the oldest, but he was probably the most bold. And he was so curious to see what we were doing. I walk in and I saw his belly and I knew he must have been starving. I just wanted to give him a lollipop. So that's what Americans do. We give out lollipops. So I pulled one out and I hand him this lollipop. And he takes it from me very slowly and he just looks at it for a second. And he runs off. Like he's going to go eat that thing in the corner. He must be starving, you know. I should bring him a sandwich or something. And he goes over and I see him go over to his youngest little teeny baby sister. And he gives her the lollipop. And I'm like, that's awesome, you know, like, in my family, I'd be tearing it out of my sister's hand, you know, saying, like, give me that thing, that's mine, you know, but he didn't, and he came back, and he just stood there, he wasn't asking for anything, just looking curious again, so I took out another one, and I gave it to him, and I was like, I wonder what he's going to do, so I gave it to him, he runs off to another little sister, and gives it to her, comes back, still not asking, he probably thinks I'm out by now, but I got a whole pocket full, man. I'm a missionary, I got candy, you know, so I'm like, I got some stuff going on. I give him some more, and this time I'm like, let's just save some time. I give him like 5 lollipops, because he's got a bunch of brothers and sisters. He runs back, and he's like little Santa Claus, just handing out lollipops to all his brothers and sisters, and he comes back still empty-handed with nothing for him. By that point, he probably thinks, this dude's out, man. He gave me a whole stack of candy, you know, but that's okay. And I'm just like, what? Like, so I hand him his lollipop, and he's happy. He looks around. He does a check, literally. I saw his eyes look at his brothers and sisters, and he's like, yeah, they all got it. So then he opens the lollipop and finally eats it. And you're like, why are you telling us a stupid lollipop story and you're comparing that to God? No, no, no. That's probably the most beautiful example of love that I've seen. Because it's in the simple things that we take for granted, that we don't think about, the selfish moments of life that we don't really care that much about because people aren't looking and it's not huge and big and on display. It's the little moments that we think don't really make a difference. And in those little moments, he could have easily taken that lollipop, just ate it for himself. But you know what? He thought about other people, even when it wasn't really the cool thing to do. He gave one to every one of his brothers and sisters first. And that broke my heart as I stood there. People were like, you big baby. I'm bawling my eyes out again. Like, oh, I can't believe he did that. You know, they're like, it was awesome. Because I wouldn't have done it. I recognized something. I wouldn't have done that. And I felt horrible. I'm not trying to make you feel horrible tonight. But I hope you recognize with me that love is about more than just this other junk that we're being fed all the time. It's about loving other people more than ourselves. It's about being willing to sacrifice for other people. And so you can say you love God all you want, but if you don't really love your brother, the Bible says you're a liar. And the greatest expression of that love that you can give anybody is this word we've been studying called grace. And you can give people something they don't even deserve. When you can sacrifice for another person the way our God displayed for us the most beautiful act of love through Jesus Christ. And that should be the very core and essence of who you are, just like it's the core and essence of our Creator God. Now, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and we're going to pray. I'm not doing an invitation right now. When I'm done praying, the band's going to be up here and they're going to be playing, but I don't want you guys to move or talk or just kind of listen to the music. Because there's something I want to do. We're sitting here, and I'm assuming that everybody in this room has been told they're loved. I'm not going to take that for granted tonight, that everybody in here has ever heard the words come out of another person's mouth that you're loved. And so I want to tell all of you, one by one, I'm sorry if it feels awkward for you, I'm not trying to make you feel awkward, but I want to tell you that you're loved tonight. So when we pray, just stay right where you're at and I'll be around to you, okay? Father, we do love you. And our limited, broken selves, God, we love you because we're redeemed by the blood of Christ and the grace that you've given us because Jesus died for our sin and gave us the ability to love. Make us people that truly love, God. Let it be a fruit that flows out of us because we've been changed by your grace. We're leaning on the vine of Christ. God, let us love other people well. Let us be willing to sacrifice whatever it takes, whatever you ask of us, because you're worth it. And so we do love you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.